You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Thank you very much. This is SBS Radio Hmong program. We have a special guest today, Dr. Emma Short from RMIT University, and she is going to share her insights and her thoughts about U.S. President Donald Trump is going to be impeached by the House from the Democratic Party, and how does this incident will affect the relation between Australia and America and the global situation. So, yeah, welcome to the program.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Look, you're right. This is a really monumental event, both for the United States but for the world. More broadly, impeachment is really unusual in American history. It's only happened a couple of times. The proceedings have only been initiated a couple of times. So I think the fact that Nancy Pelosi, who's the Speaker of the House of Representatives and the Democrat, the fact that she has said the Democrats will begin the process of impeachment proceedings is very, very significant. This is a huge deal because the office of the president in the United States is kind of sacred. You know, even when it's occupied by someone as unpopular as Donald Trump, it's a separate office and it's regarded as with a kind of halo around it. So removing the president, initiating impeachment proceedings is really a last resort for Democrats. It was always designed as a last resort. And this is about, I think, it shows the significance of these particular accusations against Trump, which suggest that he basically solicited information from a foreign government that would assist him in an election. Yeah, which is a very serious allegation. And I think that the Democrats had little choice but to begin impeachment proceedings and to exercise what is the constitutional duty of oversight on the president. So this is a question that's kind of, it's bigger than Trump. It's about the integrity of the office of the president and the integrity of the American political system more broadly. So the implications are pretty massive, I think.
But according to Robert Mueller investigation, he didn't indicate, say specifically that he has anything to do with him or doesn't draw conclusions from this perspective. How can we pursue the impeachment?
Yeah, so that's true. So the Russia investigation headed by Robert Mueller is actually kind of a separate issue to these accusations about Ukraine. These are kind of two different things, which is extraordinary in itself. Mm-hmm. Now, Mueller didn't recommend that the president be charged because there's a convention that says presidents can't be charged. But he did lay out a lot of evidence that was damning for the president. And a lot of Democrats, you know, when that report was released, suggested that it was actually what Robert Mueller had given them was a manual for impeachment. So he handed them all this evidence and then was suggesting that Congress should kind of take it up and pursue impeachment. Now, there was a reluctance to do that amongst Democrats because it's a messy process and they're worried about the political implications, you know, whether the American public would be in favour of this kind of action. But I think the stepping up of Trump's brazenness of his activity and, you know, in these allegations in asking Ukraine to investigate Biden has kind of been a step too far for those Democrats who were reluctant to pursue this process. So this is kind of a bit of a tipping point, I think, for Democrats and their considerations of why they need to do this. And I think those considerations, as I said before, are about this being bigger than Trump. This is about the integrity and the durability of the American political system.
But Trump also came out and said that it's just a political witch hunt. It is unfairly target him and accuse him of all sort of stuff. Is it possible to do so? As some of the Republican representative or senator themselves actually sides with the Democrats as well. But do you think that it's possible to do so because the Senate, upper house, were mostly controlled by the Republican?
Yeah, look, you're right that the Senate is controlled by Republicans and impeachment is kind of a two-step process. So the House will conduct its investigations and draw up articles of impeachment, and that process could go for months. So that could go all the way up to the 2020 election before the House is even ready to adopt articles of impeachment. But assuming that's what happens, then that you're right, that it goes to the Senate. And what happens is the Senate can decide whether or not to put the president to trial. So the Senate effectively becomes a court that will try the president. And at this stage, the Senate is controlled by Republicans who have indicated that they will continue to support Trump. Now, that may change over a period of months if public opinion shifts and Republicans decide to turn against Trump. That is possible. But also, I would say impeachment in American history is very rare. So if we go back to the most recent examples that people are often talking about, President Bill Clinton was the last, and what happened to him was that his opposition controlled the House of Representatives. They adopted articles of impeachment, but he was acquitted by the Senate. So the Senate didn't actually impeach Clinton, and he saw out his term. So that's kind of one historical example. And the other is President Richard Nixon, who would have been impeached, I think, by the Senate. That's generally agreed by historians, but he resigned before that could happen. So impeachment is very rare. It's very difficult to do. And I think in this particularly divisive political environment, it will be difficult for Democrats to successfully actually impeach the president and remove him from office. But I think, as many Democrats are saying, it's not necessary to have the outcome guaranteed before you initiate this process, because this is about bigger constitutional questions and the need for Congress, for at least the House of Representatives, to act to exercise oversight over the president. Because if impeachment is not for something like this, then it's not clear what it's for at all. So this is a bigger question about integrity and the rule of law, and a really important one, I think.
According to the U.S. Constitution Article 2, Donald Trump also quotes, I will use this article to protect me. I can do anything, and no one can do anything to me. At the same time, Nancy Pelosi also said that we'll use the Article 1 to impeach him and use whatever evidence that we have to impeach him.
Yeah.
In this context, how well it developed?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I guess I'd say a couple of things in response to that. So Trump has already shown us that he doesn't care very much about the rule of law. He doesn't think the rule of law applies to him. He will be very dismissive of impeachment proceedings, and he will not go quietly. So this won't be like President Bill Clinton or President Richard Nixon, who kind of, in their ways, respected the rule of law and followed the process. I don't think Trump will do that. He will fight it every step of the way. And he will not go quietly. And I think, to go back to your question about kind of the nature of the Constitution, this is a huge test for the American political system more broadly, for the integrity of the Constitution and those constitutional processes. And it's not clear what the result is going to be at the moment. I think it's just too unpredictable a situation to say whether the rule of law will be upheld at the moment. That's how volatile the situation is at the moment.
But how is the impeachment here will affect Australia or global or the regional geopolitical?
That's a really good question. I think, sometimes it's easy to think that impeachment is kind of just a process for the United States itself, but it actually does have really big implications for the rest of the world. Not the least because impeachment totally consumes an administration. It will consume Washington, D.C. It will be the focus of everything. And when this administration is working in an international landscape that's very unpredictable and very volatile. You know, when, for example, Trump is engaged in a trade war with China, the administration's focus will become entirely consumed by impeachment. So that presents a risk, I think, to those negotiations, and as a result, the broader economy. Australia is very delicately placed in that conflict, in that trade conflict, so that potentially will affect us. It's also, I think, worth keeping in mind that Trump is prone to lashing out. So he's been upping his language against places like Iran and things like that. And he often uses a technique of distraction. So if something's going badly for him, he'll pivot and do something radical in some other area. So I think that's a serious concern for international leaders as well. And from Australia's perspective, you know, our Prime Minister has just been in the US being best friends with this president and actually being in the country when it's announced that impeachment proceedings will begin against the president. And he, you know, he's kind of set himself up as the president's best friend in the world. And that was always risky. And I think that risk is now playing out because Australia is kind of the only friend, the only close friend Trump has left in the world. But it's quite possible that he'll be removed from office, or at least, you know, be embroiled in this controversy for a long term yet. So the repercussions are quite significant, I think, for us in Australia and for the rest of the world, but exactly what they will be is not quite clear yet.
Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison stated clearly that relationship and friendship with the US is long-term perspective and will be going on to the next century. At the same time, he also mentioned and stated clearly Australia has its own goals, even though it is the best friend of the United States of America. In this term, best friends are supposed to have the same view, go along the line, similar, but Australia has a different perspective. So how does this go in terms of friendship, relationship and trade war with China, and how will it affect Australia?
Look, I think Morrison is right in one way, in that the relationship is bigger than leaders. The United States-Australian alliance has continued despite, you know, changes in presidents, changes in prime ministers, changes in parties and political ideologies. So I don't think the alliance itself is in any danger. You know, the Australian government and the US government have done a lot to shore it up in the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. Where I think the risk is cozying up specifically to this president and making such a show of being, you know, as you say, best friends with Trump. That has implications for us, and that's already playing out. You know, at the UN, at the United Nations this week, Australia wasn't welcome to speak on the stage at the Climate Action Summit because of our refusal to act on climate change, much in the way that the Trump administration has refused to do that. So it is having an effect on our international reputation, and it is, in the longer term, I think, sort of slightly risky, in that if the Australian government is seen as being such a close ally of the Trump administration specifically, which Morrison has said that it is, you know, the next president may not look upon us quite so fondly if we've been seen to be cozying up so much to Trump. So doing that, I think, is risky, and it's unusual. You know, no other international leader has done that in the way that Morrison has done that. So, you know, the risks of that are playing out right now.
Do you think that Australia is supposed to have its own foreign policy without following the US? Every step that the US say, oh, mate, come on, I need to help. Come on and give me a hand, you know?
Yeah. Look, I think the history of the relationship and how Australia has kind of behaved during that 100 years of alliance suggests that we will continue to align ourselves strategically and particularly militarily with the United States, regardless of who is president. We may be a bit quieter about it while these impeachment proceedings play out, but generally, you know, Australia is one of the only countries to have followed the United States into every major conflict that it has waged since the Second World War. So from Korea all the way up now to you know, committing 200 personnel to the Gulf, the Persian Gulf, and policing shipping lanes against Iran. And, you know, I suspect if push comes to shove and we're asked by the United States to join an action in Iran, we will still do that. Australia, history suggests that Australia will do that, and we'll align ourselves closely to the United States. And as I said, I think that's risky, especially as the Trump administration is consumed by impeachment proceedings, and there's no harm in trying to walk, I think, more of an independent and more of a middle ground when it comes to foreign policy, especially in the way that we position ourselves between the United States and China. You know, it doesn't have to be a binary choice. We can pursue an independent foreign policy. We have done that in the past, and it hasn't hurt us. The United States has remained our ally. So I think it's really good to be to stand back a little bit now and be careful and watch to see what happens.
The US also wants Australia to be taking a great role in freedom of maritime in the South China Sea. In this term, Australia also make it clear that it will not follow the US request. And in the future, if good friends ask for help, will Australia get into troubles because of this?
I think that's certainly possible. And I think, again, to go back to the history of the alliance, Australia has certainly tried to pursue a kind of middle ground between the United States and China. But when push comes to shove, you know, when Australia has indicated that it might try and pursue a more independent policy, the United States has not been happy about it and has made that very clear. And they've done that to other countries as well, countries like New Zealand. So I think it is risky, especially as Trump, you know, potentially lashes out on the international stage, which is where he has, you know, he will have power to do that, where he doesn't have power in other areas of government as these impeachment proceedings continue. So I think the Australian government will have to think very, very carefully about what it does if one of those requests, as you say, does come along for help from a mate. But again, I'd say, you know, history suggests that when that call comes, Australia answers, and Australia consistently answers yes when other countries don't.
Do you have any final perspective to aid that we haven't touched on?
I suppose just that it is an absolutely extraordinary time for Western democracies. You know, looking at what's happening in the United Kingdom with Boris Johnson and the Supreme Court there, and what's happening in the United States today. You know, Western democracies they're in crisis. You know, they're just under unprecedented strain, and we're seeing institutions and norms being tested, I think, in a way that hasn't been before. So it will be interesting, to say the least, to see how this all plays out.
Thank you so much, Dr. Emma Shortis from RMIT University.
That's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.